Michael Irvin here on 95.7 The Game. Week 11 is going to wrap up with Monday Night Football. We got going Thursday night with Myles Garrett showing us one of the least glorious moments we've seen on a football field in a long time, swinging a helmet at Mason Rudolph. Michael, what did you think of that?
Yeah, that was sad, and I was there. You know, I was doing that game, and I think that's why I'm sick, because of that weather out in Cleveland, to be honest with you. But to see that was awfully sad. And Myles Garrett is a great dude, man. I've spoken with him. I know I've spoken with him a couple times, you know, even when he was getting drafted. He just talking about what they expect in the league. Yeah, I work with Joe Thomas. He speaks highly of him as a person, So obviously he just kind of lost himself there in the midst of that brawl. He lost himself and swung that helmet. And what the NFL did, I think, was the right thing. You have to send a message that anybody does this kind of thing, we're not having it. You're gone. Now, he'll appeal, and I don't know what will happen with that. But I thought they sent the right message.
Monday Night Football, if there's a win by the Chargers tonight, the Raiders will be a first-place team. Who would have ever thought? Why is it working for Gruden in year two when it didn't seem to be working at all in year one?
Isn't that crazy how this works? And all of it, I tell people all the time, the skill set levels, you know, they're not that big, are not that far apart. We talked about at the beginning of the year about San Francisco. Okay, do they have the receivers? Do they have this to do things? And I said, hey, if these guys get on a run and they start feeling good about themselves and having confidence in what they're doing, you better believe it. And now that's what they're starting to try to pick up in Oakland. Feeling good. They're buying into it, and they're feeling good about it. And honestly, when you go through something like they went through with Antonio Brown, that brings the team closer together, because they feel like everybody's coming after them and attacking them, and they've come closer together. What a great job John Gruden has done to go through all of that and have his team right there fighting. Mike Tomlin, what a great job he's done. Even though they lost that game last Thursday night, he still has his team right in there after losing one of the best quarterbacks, one of the best receivers, and one of the best running backs in the league. That's an incredible job. That's what great coaching is, and those two guys certainly belongs in the Coach of the Year talk.
Every week when the Cowboys lose, we end up dogging you in one way or another. But after yesterday and watching Dak Prescott put together yet another 400-plus yard game, do you know what that team is? Have you figured out them yet?
Excuse me. And I think they're figuring it out. You know, this team was all about Ezekiel Elliott in the run game. But every team that comes in here is saying, you're not going to beat us with this run game. We're going to make sure you prove to us that Dak Prescott can beat us. And Dak Prescott has been playing some incredible football. You know, he's been doing what he needs to do. And I've said this all along, that he's finally got his receivers. Before, he was playing with Tony Romo's receivers. Tony Romo and Dez Bryant made a perfect match, because Romo was a gunslinger, and he would put the ball up, and Dez was a guy that can go and get 50-50 balls. I played basketball with Dez, man, when he first came into the league. I remember we were both going up for a rebound, and I won all kinds of dunk contests, man, in my years. The Footlock Slam Fest, you can punch it up. Belt Beach Ball Classic with some of the best basketball players in the NBA right now played. I won dunk contests over all of them. But I remember going up for a rebound thinking I can jump. And I jumped, got to my peak. I was coming back down, and he was still going up. I said, oh, my God. I said, it's time to get out of the league, boy. Look at this kid. I'm glad I'm done. This kid is incredible. I mean, he was still going up. So their skill set matched. But now Amari Cooper and Randall Cobb matches. He won with Tony Romo's receivers before. But now he's winning with his receivers, and you're starting to see him take off and become one of the better quarterbacks and one of the top quarterbacks in the NFL.
So just looking at the NFC playoff picture, Dallas is, I guess, still in a fight for the division, but the six playoff teams look somewhat clear of the pack. I'm curious of those next three, the Rams, Eagles, and Panthers, do you give any of them a chance to jump into the mix, or do you think that playoff picture could stay the same from here to the end of the season?
Oh, that's a good one, man. And the only team you could say that would really pull out of that you thought would be the Rams.
Yeah.
And I just don't see it without Todd Gurley being Todd Gurley. And I know he got like 97 yards the other day. That's his second game of 97 yards, even though they haven't had a 100-yard rush yet. But it's not just Todd Gurley because, you know, I was saying something going on with him injury-wise that maybe we're not getting the full story. But it's also that offensive line. You know, they lost two starters from last year when they were considered one of the number one ranked offensive lines. I think now PFF got them ranked like 31st in the offensive line, and now they're getting the injuries at the wide receiver position. I think they're positioned to be the only other team. That's why I said all along that maybe even three teams can get in from the NFC West, but that'll be hard for them to get in. And even if they did get in, I don't know that they can do much damage with that offensive line.
Michael Irvin here on 95.7 The Game. An awful lot of the Niners' young wide receivers have disappointed, but it looks like they got a real one in Deebo Samuel.
Came through, huh?
Man, he had himself a couple of catches in that game. He's just establishing himself as a consistent target for Jimmy to find, and he's the only one of the young guys really separating himself from the pack. Emmanuel Sanders, you want to talk about giving at the office. He was playing with all sorts of bruised ribs, and he was really good yesterday.
Yeah. When that happened, he grabbed his rib, when that ball hit the ground and hit his foot, I knew what it was right away. I've had that cartilage damage just between the ribs. Let me tell you, man, I can't even tell you the kind of pain that is because breathing hurts. And it happened. I had it when we were playing the Redskins. Something, I got hit there, and I couldn't even breathe. And I was in the huddle, like, just taking short breaths. And I remember looking at him, and I said, I can't go, man. I can't go. Emmett said, how bad are you? I said, man, I can barely breathe. He said, I can't run. I can't run. He said, don't worry about it. You don't have to run. They don't know you hurt. Just stand out there and take the double teams. I'll do all the running. They don't know. You know what I mean? So, as soon as he grabbed it, I said, that's rib cartilage. That hurts like you do not know what. To try to play through that, you have to be a tough SOB to play through that. And I know Emmanuel's a tough guy because that's some serious pain. And you're right, Deebo is stepping up. When I looked at the numbers, I said, oh, man, he's coming away. Yeah, he's having over 100 yards here. He's playing now. He's starting to make plays. And I guarantee you, having Emmanuel Sanders there is showing him some of the little things. Like if I'm running a deep end route and I'm running against man coverage and I got him on my back hip, I'm not going to float any bit. I'm not going to float up the field. I'm going to lose ground. If I run it at 20, I want to catch it at 19. Because if I lose just that little bit of ground, it never gives the cornerback an interception point. You never can cross my face. You are always chasing me. Little things like that are the difference that will get you over the top and make the difference between being good and being great. And I guarantee you he's learning some of those little things from Emmanuel.
One of my favorite things to do when I'm watching like a pregame show or a post-wrap-up show, I'll look at all the people on the dais and I'll say, do you think any of them are really friends in life? Like, I think when I look at you and Deion Sanders, like, I'm looking at two guys who are genuinely actually friends in life, not just colleagues, correct?
I love Deion.
Okay, if he took the FSU job, is it over?
I would love for Deion to get that job.
Would you actually wear Seminole gear, which is just there? That feels like a bridge too far, right?
No, I wouldn't wear it. Okay. No, I couldn't wear it.
All right.
I couldn't wear it. And let me say, I would love it. My head would love it. My heart and my love for him would love it. Now, my heart and my love for Miami would hate it because he would be a great recruiter. A great recruiter. Kids would love to go play for him. He does that right now in Dallas. You know, he has kids that want to come and play for him because he cares about kids, man. And he knows people that he brings around. These kids can get knowledge. His plight is the plight that a lot of these kids are trying to walk. And if you can get that knowledge from your head coach, the guy that's talking to you every day about how to make that, not only make it in the league, but how to prosper once I get in the league and prosper even after I leave the league, why would you not want that information readily available to you? So I know he would do a great job in recruiting. Now, all of the stuff you got to do with the alumni and all of that, that's going to be tough.
That's for the coordinators, Mike. He'll just send the coordinators out to do that stuff.
Yeah, that'll be tough for him to deal with. But he would be a great head coach and a great recruiter.
Michael, thank you so much, man. Always a pleasure to talk to you. Always great.
Excuse me for the coughing again, guys. I apologize.
Don't you worry about it. Your coughing is better than most of the sentences we get from our other interviews. So thank you very much.
See, now you made him cough again.
Yeah, let the man go before we hurt him. Let the man go.
I think you killed him.
I'm so sorry. That was Michael Irvin's last appearance here on 95.7 The Game. Not sure if he's going to make it to next week. We can find out when. No, he doesn't do Sunday night. He's not going to be here Sunday night. He does Thursday night.